Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to The Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. We're very happy to have with us today A.J. Baines Jr. He comes from a very distinguished family in the Buffalo area. He is the president and chief executive officer of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce. He took this position 3 years ago. The Amherst Chamber is a regional chamber of commerce with a membership base of over 1,000 companies, ranging from solopreneurs to large-scale companies employing in the thousands, spanning 79 unique zip codes, continuing a legacy of business-focused programming and growth throughout Western New York. A.J. Baines leads the organization with a strong commitment to advancing its investors, members, partners, and the economic development and public policy agenda of the chamber. Very gifted man, precocious, young, but much more mature than his youth, and a very gifted man. Let's talk about the chamber fitting in the current landscape of the business climate since the start of this horrible COVID pandemic. How are you doing? How are you coping? Let's hear it from the president of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce, A.J. Baines.
Well, Brian, I first and foremost want to thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate that warm introduction. You've been a friend of the chamber for many years that predates me, and always very supportive of the chamber and its efforts with the small business community and the work that we do here. But I hope you're doing well and you're healthy.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I just want to promote the chamber so you get more members and investment in Amherst.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think what you're seeing now with the pandemic and what we saw over the last year, it's interesting. I was going through some old photos at the chamber from about a year ago, and I was in Albany, actually, with a group of other chambers, NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Unshackle Upstate New York, and we were there advocating on tax relief, regulatory reform, healthcare taxes. We were there championing a bunch of different issues for the small business community, and that was on March 10th of 2020, about 10 days before the permanent shutdown. And it's just interesting to see where we've been in that year. And unfortunately, the issues remain the same, but they were exacerbated in terms of regulatory reform and the things that were needed for small businesses going forward here. And with the current landscape, I think the chamber plays a more vital role than ever. Businesses are still looking for ways to creatively market their businesses, ways to get the message out there. They're having the same HR problems, if not worse, than they did before the COVID pandemic. And then more importantly, businesses are trying to figure out a way to do business more cost effective. The cost in buying PPE material, the cost in, you know, ensuring that worker safety is not compromised at all is very expensive. But as those rising costs go up, unfortunately, not everybody is able to afford that. And so we're looking at businesses and working with them and trying to creatively alter their budgets and look at things that maybe they're no longer doing and how to that they could be more efficient in. So it's a completely different world, but you know, the chamber stands ready to help with these businesses as we have been for the past year. So
very good. Let's talk about current and future challenges that you hear from the greater Amherst business community. Let's first, we'll do one by one. What about PPE? What is the status of that situation right now? A.J. Baines, president of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce.
Well, I think the status is what we had early on in the pandemic was you had companies purchasing surgical masks, something that I think a company never thought that they would have to. That's something that hospitals do, that nursing homes do, that outpatient centers do. That's not something where a bank is going to do it. That's not something where an energy company is going to do it. That's not something that a construction company is going to do. Construction companies were pretty lined up because they had, you know, painters are using N95 masks to begin with, but all of a sudden now they can't get a hold of them due to shortages. So the good thing is in the past year, the PPE supplies we were able to ramp up. Unfortunately, early on in the pandemic, we had a lot of companies taking advantage of small companies and selling surgical masks at exorbitant prices. And that's where the chamber came in, and we worked with countless companies in sourcing and finding reasonably priced PPE materials. So, I mean, you had companies, everybody was looking for the handheld thermometers. So when you walk in somewhere, they can take your temperature at a small business, the plexiglass dividers, maybe for a receptionist or in a waiting area so that as they're interacting with people, they have that little division, the touchless sanitizer machine. So all those types of things were challenges that companies were facing, and fortunately, we were able to help and assist them on that, but it took a little bit of time, and we're now feeling that we're in a much better position. I think a lot of companies early on called us. They looked to us to help them find and source these materials, and thankfully, we were able to do that for them. But now, given the fact that we're a year into this pandemic, a lot of them have identified the suppliers that they're working with going forward. And fortunately, or the biggest positive is the fact that we are now at a position where we're seeing a little bit of a surplus. I had somebody reach out to me over the last week saying that, you know, they had a surplus of masks and some rubber gloves and other things that they'd be willing to donate to small businesses. So we're working with some of the small businesses to make sure we get that in the hands of them.
Let's talk about the aid, these grants that are given to businesses, the PPP, which I believe after a certain length of time, they are a grant, not a loan. How is that working out for the hundreds of businesses that you represent in the town of Amherst?
Well, and that's something that the previous presidential administration and working with Congress was able to deploy staggering numbers in the trillions that they were able to put out into the business community to try to stabilize what was taking place, ensuring that people had access to capital and essentially floating their businesses. I mean, when you look at how PPP was organized and put out into the communities, you were assisting in payroll, you were assisting in utilities, you were assisting in rent, and all those types of things were really critical needs of small businesses. And the fact that they were able to get these types of grants, and they started out as loans, but if you were able to show that you used a great portion of it towards payroll, these loans can be forgiven. And now with the second round of PPP funding out there, it's critical because you're seeing it maybe not at the initial numbers that went out, but there are companies that are still struggling due to some of the regulatory regulations that were placed on them. And the fact that they have a second bite at the apple for some access to capital, and if it doesn't turn into a forgivable loan for them, it's at a very low interest rate. One of the other things I would compliment the county executive, Mark Polenkar. So Erie County was awarded $25 million in federal CARES Act money. Some of that money was used towards some of the PPE supplies. Some of that money was used towards a grant program that was run through 43 North, and it was a small business grant program where they were able to put money into the hands of very small businesses that were in dire needs. And I believe several hundred restaurants were awarded grants. Small businesses throughout Erie County were awarded grants, and they put out about just short of $20 million into the business community. There was another portion of that grant money that the county executive worked with the Chamber of Commerce on, and we created the Shop 716 e-gift card program. If you go on our website, amherst.org, it's right there front and center. But if you want to go to the direct page, it's amherst.org/shop716. And this was an e-gift card that was powered by a company out of Palo Alto called Yipti. And Yipti was able to create a touchless transaction, or basically a electronic credit card that you could use on your phone and have somebody plug in the numbers. And the county put up $1 million towards that, or we were able to push into the community about over a million dollars in spending. And the county was able to provide some matching funds. So if you went online and bought $25, you got a $25 gift card. If you went online during, I believe, the Black Friday, Thanksgiving weekend, there was a matching of $50 for if you purchased $50. We signed up over 700 vendors throughout Erie County. We went, you know, as far north as Grand Island and Tonawanda, and we went as far south as Gowanda. We were into Evans, Angola area. But these businesses were scattered out throughout the community. And to see the range of usage of these cards and to have over $1 million, we had businesses that reached out to us and said, we can't thank you enough for this program. I mean, this was a very big savior for us during the holiday season. And if everybody remembers, it wasn't that long ago, but, you know, we were really tampering down back in Thanksgiving and, Christmas and Hanukkah time of the year. And with that, you know, people were more hesitant to go out. So to be able to use these types of cards and really promote a shop local initiative, we were very happy to do that.
We're learning a great deal from a gifted man who's the leader of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce. He works with a base of over 1,000 companies out of Greater Amherst, New York. If you're listening in Amherst or Montreal or Northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226. This station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia, New Zealand. We'd like to hear from you. ESPN 1520 is streaming. You can listen live by going to our website, ESPN1520.com, and clicking on the radio.com or listen tab. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Eagle has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Eagle. The Ampol Eagle is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. Coming up, we have State Senator, the Republican leader of the State Senate, Rob Ort, will be on this program. I'd like to thank those who've called regarding our recent guests, Senator Edward Rath, Eric Reichert, who is a former international vice president of Ford and Chrysler, Pete Sauer, president of Calspan, and popular Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, a tremendous sheriff. A little bit more information about A.J. Baines, Jr. His dedication to promoting and elevating businesses of all sizes results in further collaborative partnerships in the Buffalo Niagara community. A.J. comes to the chamber with an extensive history in the political forefront, most recently serving our region from a legislative stance as the chief of staff in the New York State Senate with Senator Pat Gallivan. He was also hands-on in his family's logistics business, where he learned and experienced what business owners are challenged with each day. And his father, Anthony Baines, holds a prestigious title as president of the Buffalo Club in Buffalo, New York. Let's talk now about the state restrictions what you've been facing with the chamber, with COVID, and how you and the Amherst businesses with the Amherst Chamber have been dealing with this. President of the Amherst Chamber, A.J. Baines.
Thanks, Brian. And with the regulations, so everybody remembers back March 20th, I think, was the last day where, you know, everyone was told, go home, don't leave your house unless you it's an absolute emergency. And the stores that remained open were Wegmans, Tops, the larger supermarkets, and then anybody who was deemed a necessary operating business. But those small businesses that had were forced to close down because they weren't deemed essential, it was absolutely just crushing to them. And the uncertainty and the fear of when was this going to end, how long is this going to happen for, nobody knew. I mean, this is a once-in-a-100-year pandemic situation. I came to the chamber in 2018. My predecessor was here for over 35 years. They didn't put anything in the manual that said, if there's a pandemic, here's how we help small businesses. So we were just like everybody else, learning on the fly of how to help these businesses. But the common theme that came back to us was just simply, we need information, we need to know when we can open, and we need to know what's next. And so we wanted to be that source of information. We wanted to make sure that we were doing the outreach that was necessary. And that's what we really prided ourselves. We have a tremendous staff here at the chamber that works so diligently with the individual members, both large and small. And we were just pounding those phones, Brian. We really just did a lot of outreach, and we really needed to make sure that we were helping these businesses any way that we could. So one of the other things that we did with our partners, we're very fortunate. We have a lot of large companies that are investors with the chamber that believe in the mission that we are out to support and create a prosperous Western New York region. And one of those partners called up Spectrum Reach, and they offered to shoot a quick commercial that was, at that time, the only thing you could do was go to Wegmans or get takeout from a local restaurant. We shot a commercial quickly on the fly just before the shutdown, as those couple days were leading up to that March 20th shutdown. And we shot a commercial just talking about takeout, support your local restaurants, get takeout, support these, support your community, support your neighbors. Those restaurants, unfortunately, you know, they had to shut down. They had to let go of a lot of people that worked there, and most of them were operating with just an owner, a chef, and maybe one other person. And a lot of them for many, many months were operating like that due to some of the restrictions and that were placed on them. So being able to put a commercial like that out there showed that the chamber was constantly forward thinking. Couldn't have done it without partners like Spectrum Reach, who put us across Western New York. I think we were in 93% of the households if you had Dish, Fios, or Spectrum. So that was something that we were very proud of, and we received a lot of inbound calls from different restaurants throughout the community that said to us, hey, thanks for just sticking your neck out there to really try to engage people to order takeout and participate. Then as the restrictions started to be lifted at the end of June there, we did another couple commercials with Spectrum and working in tandem with that to talk about that the fact that the small business community is back open. We are here for you. But most importantly, we want you to feel comfortable in what you're doing. So if you're coming into our store, you're coming into our small retailer, you can feel comfortable that we've taken all of the precautions. And I think, Brian, you would agree, there's not a business owner out there who was going to be negligent and who would just ignore any of the sanitation or any of the things that were necessary to make sure that their customers felt safe. Nobody wanted to be that business, and we needed to make sure that everybody understood that you can engage safely with your community. And that's where, you know, one of the things that I had pushed up to some of my friends back in my government days was simply when I was looking at some of the programs that were going on in other countries and other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And over in Europe, there was a program where they were giving you a credit for to dine out for $15. And what they were trying to do was promote dining in restaurants and to also instill confidence that you could engage safely back into the community as long as you followed the guidelines, as long as you ensured that there was proper social distancing, that you showed up with the people that you live with in your house, that you wore your mask. And if you took those proper guidelines, you could keep that curve flat and you could keep those numbers low. And those who are at the greatest risk, you know, unfortunately, you've really got to judge on where you need to be. And if you are at a great risk, obviously you want to limit those interactions. But for those who, you know, don't have any underlying conditions and could do it safely, there was an encouragement by other governments to get out there and, you know, participate in your community.
Well, we've been learning so much from the dynamic young president and CEO of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce, a tremendous go-getter who has a very vast experience in government before with the New York State Senate. We're referring to Anthony J. Baines, Jr., president and chief executive officer of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce. If you're listening in Amherst or Toronto or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power, drop us a note. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Amherst, New York, 14226. A little bit more information about A.J. Baines, Jr., president and chief executive officer of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce. AJ has an open door policy for all members and has been an active member of our community, engaged with many of the philanthropic efforts in our community. Currently a director of the Buffalo Renaissance Foundation, a member of the ECMC Foundation, Amherst Police Foundation, former chair of both the Cystic Fibrosis Rising Stars Program and the Cystic Fibrosis Breath of Life Gala, a Buffalo Business First 40 Under 40 recipient, and for the fourth consecutive year, a member of the Buffalo Business First Power 250. Very dynamic, bright leader. Let's talk about employees, what the Amherst Chamber of Commerce is doing with the employees post-COVID in Amherst. What's going on?
Yeah, so Brian, obviously, you know, we had a high unemployment in this region, and we've started to see the numbers come back down as we've opened back up. But the biggest thing is what we're looking at is the challenge that we've been facing in Western New York for the past 20 to 30 years, which is talent attraction. And that's why we work with our partners at Invest Buffalo Niagara in looking at creative ways to ensure that we have talent attraction to the region. There's so many great things that we can showcase, but it all comes back to jobs, jobs, jobs. And we have to have the jobs to ensure that we can bring the right talent to our area. And that's where the chamber has to create an environment and be the vehicle to assist these businesses to help them grow so that we have a prosperous and vibrant Western New York community. And in Amherst, one of the biggest challenges we're going to face going forward is our office park dynamic. Mm-hmm. When you look at the town of Amherst and all of the office parks that we have, these were all built in the 70s, 80s. I mean, some of them are much older than that, but the prime ones that I'm thinking about and where you're sitting in your studio, I mean, those were built in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. They're now going to need to be redesigned, and they're going to need to have some restrictions lifted off of them, whether it's through zoning or, you know, what their permitting process looks like. And we need to be creative in creating a more community center. Everybody's looking for those eat, work, live, and play community centers. And I think we have some incredible parcels, and we have some incredible pieces of property that can be retrofitted, and we can just do some minor tweaks that create that environment that is necessary to ensure that these places are going to remain filled. And as workers are coming back into the workplace, everybody knows that there's going to be changes to worker schedules. I think everybody has learned over the past year that we can work remotely. So while employers are trying to get their employees back, there are some who are saying, I'm okay with a remote staff. I'm okay with a hybrid schedule. Maybe you have people coming into the office on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then you have another half of people coming in on Mondays and Wednesdays, and then everybody's remote on Friday. So what are the challenges there? I don't need as much square footage. And with these office parks, that's where we're going to really need to ensure that we give them, the developers, the freedom to reinvent themselves. If employers are only bringing in half their workforce and they have 6,000 square feet, they might only need 4,500 square feet going forward or 3,000 square feet. So with that, it becomes a big challenge. So I think where we're going to need to really work with our government officials is allowing these places to reinvent themselves and give them the flexibility that is necessary.
We have about 2 minutes left on the Rusk Report on ESPN, AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. Let's talk about major economic development projects that are dependent on money from Washington and Albany. Now so much is being spent on COVID vaccines and distribution. Where does that leave the Chamber for Growth in Amherst, New York?
Well, I think, and again, you know, you mentioned it at the top of the show, we span 79 unique zip codes. We have members as far away as Rochester, New York, which is, for those listeners outside of the Western New York region, is about 60 miles down the road from Buffalo, New York. So we have members that recognize the influence that the Amherst Chamber has. And so we have to be thinking about the town of Amherst, which has a daytime population of about 200,000 people, three higher education institutions, the University at Buffalo, SUNY Erie, ECC, Damon College. So we are an economic engine unto ourselves, and what we need to do is figure out a way to continue to see the growth and prosperity of Amherst, but also how does it impact the region? And so for those major economic development projects that we've heard for the last 10 years that have been taking place in Western New York, and we're seeing those seeds start to grow into flowers, and we're seeing all of that, and obviously we hit pause just like everybody else in the world a year ago. But we've got to get excited. We got to get those projects back going again. We've got to bring back people to Canal Side and have people feel comfortable and safe. But what's exciting is we still have interest coming from outside developers, that not our typical developers in Western New York. So we are doing something right. And we owe the developers in Western New York a debt of gratitude for the projects that they did, because that was part of the attraction for some of these outside developers. And one in particular is Douglas Jamal. What he's doing in downtown Buffalo at Seneca Tower, the Buffalo Police Station, Statler. But for town of Amherst, he's now the proud owner of the Niagara Falls Boulevard Mall. That's a project that has an ambitious goal of creating a true community center. I know the town supervisor has done some rezoning over there to help promote the idea of creating a real community and not your typical mall layout that you've seen since the 1960s. And that's where it gets me excited, because I know once we get through this, Brian, we are going to have people that are ready to go. On the other side of town, just across the way in the town of Clarence, you have the Eastern Hills Mall, and you have Uniland Development and the Montanti family and what they're doing over there. And that's a project that prior to the pandemic, they always knew that was going to be a 10, 15, 20-year project that when it was finally completed.
I'm sorry we have to come to a close. We've learned so much from the bright, dynamic president of the Amherst Chamber of Commerce, A.J. Baines. Very enlightening. Thank you to Kevin Carr, director of production, for the past 15 years. And you've taught us so much about the growth and prosperity and vitality of Amherst. A.J. Baines, have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.